We are discussing with you in our study of the Gospel of Matthew the lesson in humility which the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples in response to their question, "Who shall be greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" The Lord Jesus Christ took a little child and set him in his lap and used that little child as an object lesson to teach what real humility should be. Because the question is not who is the greatest, the question is how can we be humble? How can we be humble before the Lord without a false humility that has no real sincerity about it? Time will not permit us to review what we have said already about the ingredients of humility, which we are considering at the moment. But as we pursue our discussion today, I would like to suggest to you that there is another ingredient in humility that is suggested in our text. You will find it in verse 5. I have termed it a lack of prejudice. In verse 5, Matthew 18:5, we read, "And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." Whoso receiveth one such little child in my name receiveth me. Humility must have in it a lack of prejudice. Why have I summarized that verse in this fashion? For two reasons. Luke tells us in his account of this same incident that when the Lord Jesus Christ called this little child to him, he immediately took him up to his lap and said, "Whosoever receiveth such little child in my name receiveth me." The other reason I'm suggesting that it represents a lack of prejudice is that the word receive is a translation of the Greek word dekamai, which may be translated by the phrase take by the hand. It is a word that was often used to describe early Christian fellowship. Little children have no prejudice. That is why the Lord Jesus brought this lesson to the fore when he had the little child in his lap. You and I have prejudice. Little children don't. They, without hesitation, run and put their arms around another little child. There is no thought as to color, to creed, to background. All they know is there's a little child whom they love. I say to you today that the man who humbles himself at the foot of the cross has no prejudice. A little child plays with a little friend, and one may wonder how he could play so freely with that friend because of certain things that an adult notices, be it the color of the skin or the smell of the body, the attitude of the family from whence he came, or whatever. The little child never notices it, because a little child has no prejudice except that prejudice that is taught him by the adults who are less humble than they ought to be. And may God forgive us as adults for sowing the seeds of prejudice in the lives of our children, who would have none if we did not put it there, because they are not born with it. I want to say just one word that I trust the Holy Spirit will use to emphasize this truth. Have you ever stopped to consider that many of you who are willing to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and are not humble enough to have fellowship with those whom he has already taken by the hand, are not walking in the way the Lord would have you walk? Fellowship with him, but not fellowship with them with whom he has fellowship, is not right. Actually, there is a real doubt whether there can be unbroken fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ if prejudice dominates our lives. In verses 6 through 9, another incident of humility, another ingredient of humility, shall I say, I have described with the words sympathetic understanding. If you are to experience the humility that gains the approval of God, then you must have sympathetic understanding. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, I read, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." You may wonder why I have summarized these verses by the words sympathetic understanding. I'm suggesting to you that real humility must include such. The real answer is found in the word offend. The word offend, as we have pointed out numerous times in the study, comes from the Greek word standalizo, which may be translated by the word stumble. When the Spirit of God has in mind this word, I believe it is correctly interpreted in chapter 14 of the Roman letter, the 13th verse. The apostle is suggesting how we should receive other Christians in the fellowship. Some Christians are mature Christians, and they aren't bothered by a great many things. Other Christians are not so mature, and a great many things trouble them. The Christian who is not mature is described in verse 1 as the individual who is weak in the faith. And we are instructed with these words, Romans 14:1, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." Then a discussion ensued as to how we ought to receive a weak brother. And we are told down in verse 13 of this chapter, by way of summary, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Notice the word stumbling block. It's a translation of the same Greek word skandalizo. It's the same Greek word which is also translated by the word offend. And that is why I refer to these words as a sympathetic understanding. You should not be so high, my Christian friend, so mighty, that you cannot have sympathetic understanding with weaker brethren in the faith, individuals who are troubled about certain things, may come to you for sympathy and understanding. Instead of finding that sympathy and understanding, they find a coldness that causes them to wonder what is wrong with them, that certain things trouble them that never seem to trouble you. True humility recognizes the existence of stumbling blocks and desires to help individuals who have stumbled, not helping from a pedestal way up high, but leaning down as though the individual doing the helping is really greater than the one who needs the help. The individual who is doing the helping appearing greater in the one, in the eyes of the one who needs the help, is not so, and not attempting to be so, but one who's willing to get down off his pedestal and extending a hand of fellowship, understanding fellowship, recognizing that offenses are real. The Lord Jesus Christ, before he leaves the subject, emphasizes the inevitability of offenses. He said, it must needs be that offenses come. As long as we are living in this world, men will stumble. But notice the responsibility related to it. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's how serious it is to lack sympathetic understanding. Yes, I think these words refer to the little child, ordinarily speaking. And I speak to you as a father today, a father of 7 children and a grandfather of 14 children. I have a tremendous responsibility to see to it that my little ones, whom God has given to me, do not stumble because of the way I live. And you and I both have a responsibility to see to it that the little ones in the faith likewise do not stumble because of what we do. How great a concern do you have for the Christians who need your help and who are not quite as strong as you? Give that some thought today, won't you? And pray the prayer, O God, use me. Help me not to abuse others. For we pray in Jesus' name.